Thank you, Judy. Well, good morning, and I'm so excited to be with you this morning, obviously, but to continue to share with you a sermon series that I started a week ago in trusting the process. And today I want to share with you, as I left last week, I was like, okay, and you know, I was replaying the message in my head and in my heart, and I'm going, okay, where do we go from here, God? And God's like, well, we need to learn to trust God. We need to learn to trust God. So today I want to continue this idea of trusting the process, trusting God in the process. And again, today I want to share with you how to trust God. And last week we looked at Joseph's life, and we looked at how God worked in his life from the beginning of Joseph's life, right? Now, again, when I left last week, I had this overwhelming feeling that we need to apply that teaching, this whole trusting God in all things, which is what we were talking about last week, to trust God in all things. We need to apply these things to each and every one of our lives. You know, I mean, because the reality is, my friends, we are all going to face things in this life that are going to be challenging. It's going to challenge our trust. I mean, as we heard from the Peanuts last week, life brings its ups and downs. John 16:33 says this, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, church, Jesus said that we will have trouble in this world. I mean, we live in a fallen and decaying world, wouldn't you agree? I mean, it's decaying more every single day. I mean, it's getting uglier at times. I mean, it's getting nastier. And the reality is, this world is decaying a little more every single day. So Jesus tells us that we will have trouble. It's not a matter of if. I think we always navigate through life and we think, well, hopefully I'll be one of them that never has trouble. According to Jesus, that's just not true. It's not a matter of if we will have trouble. It is a matter of when we will have trouble. But the key is, who and where is our faith and trust in when the trouble comes? You see, church, trusting God is at the core of the Christian faith. But if we are real honest, if we're real honest here today, trusting God is not always easy, right? I mean, if you're going to be honest. Trusting God is not always easy. Because when life feels uncertain, when life feels painful, or when life feels downright overwhelming, leaning on God can feel like a real struggle, doesn't it? I know you all want to say, because I want to say every day, I fully trust in God no matter what happens, no matter what comes my way, no matter what comes against me, I will trust God no matter what. But the reality is, we struggle to trust God in all things. Because if we trusted Him, we wouldn't take matters into our own hands, would we? You see, we struggle to trust God in all things, or at least, you know, the reality is He would be the first place we would run to if we didn't struggle with that reality. You see, here's the truth, and I need you to hear me this morning. Trusting God, something you need to understand about this whole trusting God thing. Trusting God opens the door to peace. Trusting God opens the door to hope. Trusting God opens the door to strength, a strength that only the Lord can provide you. Jesus said that he has told us that we will have trouble in this world, right? So that we might have peace in who? In the world? No. So that we might have peace in trusting Him. You see, God's Word is full of encouragement and wisdom for those who are learning to trust God. And I don't know. I don't know that we ever stop learning to trust God. Because about the time you think, man, I got this figured out, something hits you. And then you're laying flat on your back and you're wondering, how's this going to end? Am I going to trust in God? Whatever. So, but God's Word is full of encouragement and wisdom for those who are learning to trust God. God's Word reassures us of His faithfulness in the midst of difficult times. As we were reminded last week that God works sovereignly, right? In the lives of those who are His. Genesis 5:20. You intended harm to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You know, I mean, I'm sure Joseph didn't see this in the beginning when he was being thrown into slavery and thrown into jail and all these things. But then all of a sudden, he gets to the end, towards the end of his life, and he's second in command, and he realizes God had a plan and a purpose for my life. And he found himself in a place that could save many lives, right? Church, I cannot tell you enough. I cannot tell you enough that God loves you, and He certainly wants what is best for you. And what is best for you is that He creates you in the image of His Son, Jesus. That's the goal, right? Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you know that God has a plan for your life? That God has a plan for your life, and that universal plan is to become like His Son Jesus. That's what He wants. You know, I think we go around and looking for things to do. Oh, I need to go and do this, and I need to do that. I need to do that in His name. And the reality is, all that God wants is for you to be like His Son. I mean, we learn throughout the Bible that all we got to do is stay connected to Him, and our lives are going to make a difference. Right? In John 15, it's not a scripture that you have right now, but John 15, He says it. Jesus says, if you stay connected to Me, your life will produce fruit. And He said, apart from Him, you can do nothing. Church, we have got to stay connected to Jesus. And so when things happen in our lives, God is allowing them to happen in our lives on purpose, for a purpose, and that purpose is to make you more like His Son. Look, you can't get there if everything just works out perfectly all the time. You won't become like His Son. We also learned last week that we were reminded last week that God works strangely in the lives of those who love Him, right? It isn't strange to God that, you know, that's a thing that I hope you heard. It isn't strange to God, but it is strange to us. It's strange to us because as God is working many times, we don't see Him at work in our lives in the immediate. Things seem strange to us. Why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? Why is that happening? I don't understand. Until, of course, we can look back at it. We look back at it and we can see the moving hand of God in our lives. Amen? It's like, wow, I can't believe. I can't believe I missed it. He was working then to get me here. Why didn't I just get on board with him then, and things would have probably worked out a little better for me? But the reality is, we had to go through those trials, right? We had to go through those trials to get to where we are today. I'll never forget when we had a church split here, and I was a youth pastor, and I was just a youth pastor, but yet all of a sudden they wanted our pastor gone, who I love very much. They wanted our pastor gone, but they came to me and they said, "We don't want you to leave. We don't want you to leave. We want you to become the pastor." And I was like, "Yeah, no. I'm not ready for that." Not only that, I this man who I have been under for 10 years, who has loved me and grown me through the grace of God. Now, I it's not going to happen. But you know, there was a side of me that thought, I could do this. But it wasn't God's plan. There was a lot of trials. There was a lot of ups and downs to get me to where I am today. It wasn't always beautiful, and it wasn't always glorious. It was hard. There was days that I wanted to quit, right? You've had days you want to quit. But now I look back and I go, golly, see what God was doing? See what God was doing? That hardship that I was in when I was threatened, when my family was threatened, look at where He's brought me now. Doesn't mean that there won't be another threat. Doesn't mean that there won't be another trial. But I can tell you this, things seemed strangely to me back then. But I can stand before you today and look back at my 20 years, 25 years of walking with the Lord and say, I have seen the hand of God moving in my life. Each and every day. Each and every day. 1 Peter 4:12 through 13 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." God's word reminds us that when challenging or incomprehensible circumstances occur in our lives, and we've all had them, right? We've all had them, or you're going to have them. Those things are often a part of a larger divine plan. You know what? Some of you are struggling with this or that, and the thing is we got to trust God. That's the thing. That's the thing that I want you to hear today, is we got to trust God with the process. We don't understand the future, but I'm telling you, trust God in the process, and He will get you to where He wants you to be. Whether it's your marriage, whether it's your kids, whether it's your job, whether it's your health, whatever it may be, there's something coming against you, and it seems strange. Why would God allow this to happen? Trust the process. God is at work. He's going to get you exactly where He wants you to be. And last week we also learned that God works slowly, right? Church, we have been conditioned in this life to expect instant gratification. It's not our friend, really. But we were reminded this is not how God works in our lives. God works in our lives on purpose, for a purpose. He does. God's goal, again, make you more like Jesus. Right? Prepare you to be with Him. That's His goal. And use you during the process of making you more like His Son. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? That work that He started in you was salvation. And as I assumed last week, I'll assume again this week, that I'm talking to a room full of Christians. And if there's some of you that aren't Christians yet, then I'm just going to trust that God is going to speak to your heart. He's going to continue to move in your life to bring you into a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So God's word reassures us of His perfect timing and His unchanging character. I want to read to you Psalm 91, 1 through 8 this morning. This scripture has so much meaning for me in my journey of trusting God in the process. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. You know, there was a time early on in my faith journey, and I'll never forget. This is when the whole trusting God in the process really started for me, and it's been a long time ago. But we were on vacation. Our kids were a lot younger. They were very young, and we were heading on vacation, and we decided, you know, we couldn't drive all the way to our destination, but we decided, hey, we can make it to Macon, Georgia. And so I started. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have all that. I mean, we had a map that we used, all this stuff. But we tried to do our research of, hey, I've heard a lot of things about Georgia here. I'm just an old little country boy in Indiana that doesn't get outside of Indiana very much at all. But Tracy, myself, and our two kids, Jocelyn and Jordan, were traveling. So we find this hotel, and I'm kind of doing my checks and balances as I'm rolling into this place, and I'm going, you know, I don't really feel very good about this. I don't really like this area. And Tracy's like, look, the kids are, they're stirring. They're not happy. We just need to stop. So we stop and we get this hotel room, and I'm kind of on edge a little bit because I'm for sure the car's going to not be there when I wake up in the morning, and or something's going to happen. Well, something did happen, and it was crazy. It was a God encounter, to be honest. And I was probably the last one to get to sleep that night because I'm just on edge, and I want to trust God. You know, I was a new believer. I want to trust God. And then all of a sudden, you know, I finally doze off to sleep after everybody's asleep, and I turn the TV back on and finally fall asleep. And we wake up the next morning, and Tracy goes, I had this crazy vision or dream, and it was like it was real. And I'm going, okay, yeah, tell me a little bit more about it. Well, you know, there was these feathers, these wings that was covering the hotel, and it was like God was protecting us. And I'm going, yeah, okay. So I go to the window, and we are surrounded by police officers and fire trucks and ambulances, and there's all this stuff. And I'm going, hey, can you tell me that vision a little bit? I need to hear a little bit more. So Tracy tells me this vision, and she continues, and I said, I need to go for a minute. So I leave the room, and I go, and I find somebody that said, hey, what's going on? Do I need to get my wife and my kids and get out of here or what? No, you need to stay in your room for right now. But we had an attack, basically, on our hotel in the middle of the night last night. And I'm going, God, trust God, right? Trust God. You know what? If He wants me to make it to another day, He's going to get me to that day. The process, yeah, sometimes I don't understand it. But I can promise you, as I read to you in Psalm 91, God's protective arms are always there to protect you. Always there to take care of you. Always there to encourage you, right? So today, I want to just explore over the next several moments this whole trusting God thing, how we can grow in that trust and how we can navigate life's hardest seasons with an unshakable faith. Maybe you're in a hard season right now. You know, and you're wondering, I don't know how this ends. I don't know where this goes. I don't understand why I'm where I'm at. But can I encourage you to trust God this morning? To trust God with the outcome, not worrying about what's going to happen today, what's going to happen tomorrow, but to learn to trust God in all things. So what does it mean to trust God? The first thing that I have you write down this morning is this. Trusting God means placing my confidence in Him. Okay? Brothers and sisters, trusting God means that even when life doesn't quite make sense, and I know there's some of you this morning that you're scratching your head, why did that baby have to die? Why did this have to happen? Why did those, why is this happening? Why is that? All these things, right? We've all got these things that are nagging in our hearts. But trusting God means that even when life doesn't quite make sense, it means that I'm going to choose to believe that God is who He says He is. And I'm going to choose to believe that His promises are true for me this morning. And His plan is always good, even when we don't understand it. Psalm 27 says this, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Amen? In David's era and beyond, chariots and horses were a measure of military strength, right? David knew that those worldly weapons didn't stand a chance against God Almighty. This can also be applied to our lives today. You see, if I could paraphrase that verse a little, some trust in their armed forces and nuclear weapons, but we trust in the name of the Lord. You see, you know, it is so natural and it's common for us to fall into the trap of relying solely on human strength. We all do it. It's just a natural thing to do. It's natural for us to rely on our material possessions, our bank accounts, all these things, our worldly intelligence. We all get to this place where we trust in the things that we can put our hands on, right? The things that we can get. But I'm here to tell you this morning the importance of putting your confidence in God. All those things can go away in a heartbeat, to be honest. Your wealth, your material things, everything can go like that. And the importance to have a confidence in the Lord in those times is so vitally important. You see, when we trust and we have a confidence in God, there is an, it, you know, think about this. Let me bring it this way. Because it's so natural to put our faith and trust in everything but God. I mean, it's evident, right? It's evident sometimes in elections of political candidates. I mean, you know, we just think somehow God's going to put somebody in the White House that's going to be the savior of the world. Let me just tell you, there's never going to be anybody in the White House that is the savior of the world. No, Jesus is the savior of the world. And it is the church's role and mission in this world to be the hands and feet of Christ, not the government. Okay? So stop relying on political people to be God. Because they are not. They are not ordained to be God. They never will be ordained to be God. Now that doesn't mean don't go vote and all that stuff and do your American duty. All I'm saying is put your confidence in God, not in a person. Okay? We assume, right, that a certain candidate or a party will usher in a utopia in our world, disregarding the God factor. You see, Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases." Church, I'm here to tell you that God, not earthly rulers, has the ultimate authority over the world's politics. I know, now I get it. I know it may be hard to see, but when you look at everything through the truth of God's word, right? Is that what you do, I hope? Everything that you encounter in our world, do you run it through the eyes of the word of God? I'm guessing a lot of us don't do that. That's the reason why we are thrown around like the waves of the sea, Jesus says. Because we don't look at everything through the eyes of the Word of God. If you look at the Word of God and then you look at the world in which we live, you will understand exactly why we are where we are. And why the things in the world are happening the way they are happening. It's not because the right guy or the right gal or the wrong girl or the wrong guy is anywhere in any kind of office. It's because it's ordained by God. There is a plan. There is a purpose. Put your confidence in God. You see, think about this, a couple other examples. The wealthy may rely on their billions, intellectuals on their brilliance, and the physically strong on their bulk. Humans have been geared towards self-rule. That's what we are. You rule, man! Isn't that like a Burger King commercial or something? You rule. I had Burger King a little while back. I don't think we'll be going back there again. But anyway. But here's the thing. Self-rule has been integrated in us, right? Ever since the Garden of Eden and the fall of man, it has. I mean, I must say that Christians—that's you and me, right—are not immune of playing the role of being our own God. We do it all the time, right? We do it all the time. I'm in control of this family. I'm in control of my job. I'm in control of my riches. I'm in control. I mean, really. It's not hard to be your own God. But here's the thing. Since we know that we are prone to play the role of being our own God, we are prone to rely on earthly resources in our circumstances, right? We run to everything else but God when something comes against us. I tell you, I used to be a big old hypochondriac. I was dying all the time. The man cold thing was really a thing when I was 18. Until I met with a pastor one time and I was being so stopped by my idea of my health not being good. And I was in good shape. I mean, I was running around doing whatever I want, when I wanted. But by golly, whenever something didn't feel right, I was on my deathbed. Until one day I went and I spoke with a pastor. I wasn't saved at the time, but I spoke with this pastor. And he said, you know what? The best advice I can give you in your struggle with your health and you're thinking you're dying all the time is this. When something comes against you, give it to God and wait 3 days. If the symptom's still there 3 days later, then go to the doctor. Then go do something about it if it's still there. But rely on God first. Go to God first. Now, of course, if you're having cardiac arrest or something, call 911. You know, let's be smart about it. But again, I'm telling you from my perspective, from my life of truly the man cold. You see, the importance of putting God first in our lives, going to Him first, changes everything. To have a confidence in Him, knowing that He knows the outcome. He knows it. He knows if I'm going to be here another day. He knows what I'm going to need in another month. He knows exactly what I'm going to go through. Amen? He does. So why would I put my confidence in anybody but God? For my marriage, for my kids, for my grandkids, for my job, for my ministry, right? All the things. Make a list. Is your confidence in the things that you can tangibly see and put your hands on? Or is your confidence in God Almighty, who can give and take away? Church, we are prone to rely on these earthly resources in our circumstances. You see, in challenging times when people tend to tap into their limited human resources, and that's really what we have. I know that's probably very hard on some of our egos this morning. But you have very limited human resources. They are limited at best. You can do very little, okay? In challenging times when we tend to tap into our very limited human resources, I'm here to tell you that we have a heavenly Father to turn to for our assistance. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Do you, when you go to the Lord in prayer, do you go to Him with confidence that He's actually listening? That He's actually going to hear you? Or do you go, well, you know what, this is just what I do. You know, I'm going to go through my list every single day, and I hope He just hears a little bit of it. You know, maybe He'll respond just... maybe He'll respond on one of them at least. That's not how you're supposed to approach the throne of God. No, no, not at all. I mean, I believe Jesus said we are to approach the throne of God with a boldness and a confidence that my God is going to hear me whenever I cry out to Him. Do you believe that this morning? Do you have a confidence in God that He is the first person that you turn to in everything? I see so many people, they turn to self-help books, self-help videos. They go to all these other things. I'm telling you right here, right now, God should be the first place you go to with your problems. And I'm not knocking those people, and they may be led by God. I am not doing that. I'm not saying that you won't end up there. But it shouldn't be the first place you turn to. God should be the first place you turn to. And then God will lead you to wherever He wants you to go. Well, you know what? I think maybe you ought to go talk to the pastor. Or hey, I think you ought to go and listen to this book. Or whatever it may be. But it should start with God. Amen? It should start with God. Church, in order to have a confidence in God and who He is, or who He says He is, we have to trust in God's character. To trust God, you have to know God. To trust God, you have to know God. And if I was to ask you today, do you know God? And I'm not saying that you know of Him. See, there's a huge difference. I see a whole world of people who claim to be Christians. They know of God, but they don't know Him. Because if they knew Him, He would be the priority number one in their lives. Number one. He would be the center of your marriage. He would be the center of your relationship with your kids. He would be in the center of your relationship with your grandkids. He would be the one that drives you that causes you to be in the job that you're in. If God was number one priority, right? If you trust Him, in order to trust Him, you got to know Him, right? You think about any of the things that you trust in. I'm guaranteeing you the reason you trust in them is because somehow, some way, you've gotten a relationship with them. You trust them and what they're saying to you. And maybe it's even your self-help books or anything like that. You've been like, man, this guy's never misled me. You trust in everything they say. But they're man. They're human. They make mistakes. In order to trust God, you got to know Him. You have to know Him. Do you know God? I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not in His Word, you don't know Him. You should be in His Word. That's the reason why He gave us His Word. You study this for knowledge? Wrong. No. You don't study the Word of God for knowledge. But that's what we do. You know what? You know what? I'm having a little struggle with depression. So let me Google this and then I'll go to God's Word and find out a good scripture for my depression. Wrong. It's not what you do. The Bible is given to us to know God. To know His character. To understand that, you know what? When I'm not feeling great, and I'm kind of having a blah-ha, boo-hoo moment, I'm having a pity party in the morning before I get going, you know what I know? I have a God who loves me. A God who wants to build me up. A God who wants to encourage me that no matter what I face that day, I know that He's with me. And He'll never leave me. And He'll never forsake me. So I don't have to worry about this life. I don't have to worry about what's coming against me because I got a God who's got it under control. That's what you know about God. One of many things. Like God is loving, God is just, God is holy, God is wise, He's gracious. He's compassionate, He's merciful, He's kind, He's forgiving, He's long-suffering, He's slow to anger, and He's faithful, just to name a few. You see, the Bible reveals that God is loving, faithful, sovereign, and He is unchanging. Isaiah 26, 3 through 4, you will keep in perfect peace Him whose mind is steadfast because He trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. Church, we will never be able to avoid turmoil in this world. You know what? I mean, I learned by the art craft this week that I'm now considered a senior citizen at 55. All that did for me is the reality of, you know what? I'm getting older. The body's going to start failing. I live in a fallen world that's full of turmoil. It's full of challenges. You know, if God gives me a day, yeah, I'm going to make the most of that day. But the reality is, days will get harder. Health will become more challenging. Life will be tough. But with God, I can have a perfect peace. Even in the midst of turmoil. When we have a confidence in Him and we are devoted to Him, our whole attitude is steady and stable, right? And when you have God's unchanging love and mighty power, your whole attitude is not shaken. You know, we will not be shaken by the surrounding chaos. You know what? The chaos probably is not going anywhere. It's probably going to get a little crazier, I can promise you. But I'm here to tell you, you can have a confidence in a God that will hold you close. He will hold you in His peace. And you can have a faith that is not shaken no matter what happens in our world. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the God of peace, which transcends all understanding. I get it. We don't understand it. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If I was to ask you this morning, could you imagine never being anxious about anything? You were probably anxious getting to church this morning. Truly. But it seems impossible as I say that. I mean, we all have worries. We have worries in our jobs. We have worries in our homes. We have worries at school, whatever. Paul's advice is to turn those worries into prayers. If you want to worry less, pray more. Pray more. If you want to worry less, pray more. So how can I trust God in the hard times? I'm going to move to the second point here. God, hard times can grow our trust in God. That's the thing. We shouldn't expect hard times. I mean, Jesus said, I mean, if I believe that God's word is true, and Jesus told me that I'm going to face trouble in this life, I need to understand that. And I'm here to tell you that your hard times can grow your trust in God. And I know I'm not just speaking to myself this morning. Life isn't easy, amen? It's not. Life is not easy. It's not. But hard times, I need you to hear me, but hard times can grow our trust in God if we will just let them. Okay? Now, I know what you're thinking. Okay, Pastor, how can these hard times grow my trust in God? Well, remember God's faithfulness. Did God tell you He would be with you? He'd never leave you. He'd never forsake you. Do you believe that this morning? Remember God's faithfulness. Again, have you ever looked back to see how God faithfully brought you through a hard time? Have you ever, or a hard season of life? Some of you are in a hard season right now. I need you to do one thing. I need you to stop trying to fix things and trust in God. I need you to have a confidence in God that and rely on Him 100%. Because through this, I can guarantee you, if you will trust Him, if you will allow Him to bring you through what you're growing through right now, one day you're going to look back and go, yep, that was a hard season, but look at where we've come. Look at what God has done in our lives. Have you taken the time to look back at a hard season? Some of you, maybe you go, well, yeah, I got through that pretty good on my own. Bad place to be. You don't get through anything on your own, I can promise you that. It's only by the grace of God that we're here today. It is only by the grace of God that we get through the hard seasons of life. Again, if you haven't looked back, I would highly recommend that you do that. Take some time, grab a journal. Reflect on what God has done and where He's brought you. Where He's brought you in this life. Again, sometimes it's hard to look back. I get it. Sometimes it's hard to face those hard seasons and go, man, I don't want to relive that again. But I'm here to tell you, those hard seasons and seeing what God has done can truly grow your trust in God. It really can. And it is more about being reminded of God's faithfulness, right? And how He led us through those hard times in those seasons of life. Because God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed and He is still with you. He is still at work in your life. If you are here today, He is at work in your life. Do you believe that this morning? He is. He is at work in your life. God will not let you down, and He will not let you be consumed by the hard seasons of life, because you're here. We've all went through them, right? We've all went through the hard seasons, and here we are on the other side of them, but maybe you're in it. Oh, this is so... If we had another couple hours, I'd break out in testimonies right now. Truly. Because some of you are in hard seasons right now, and you need to understand that no marriage didn't go through a hard season. No marriage didn't go through a hard season. No, your child, your unruly children, and everything else, never were they always perfect. Some of us have lived through it. Some of us can testify about what God has done in our lives. 10 years in, I thought, who knows? I didn't think I'd be alive 10 years into my marriage. 36 years later, here we are. Not without bumps and bruises. But what you got to understand is the only reason why we stand where we are is because of God. It's just because of God. That's the reason why you need to trust in Him, right? And allow Him to grow you through the growing pains. We need to pray honestly, right? We need to pray honestly. Church, you need to pray. God wants to hear your heart. Let me tell you, He already knows all the things that you're doing. Well, you know what? I'm not going to bring us up to God because, well, I don't know. Maybe He didn't see it. No, it doesn't work that way. God sees everything. He knows everything. He knows your deepest, darkest secrets. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you know what? He still loves you. He still loves you, and He still wants a relationship with you, regardless of those nasty, ugly things that plague your life. So why don't we just pray honestly? Why don't we just tell God what we struggle with? Why don't we just tell God our fears and our doubts and our struggles, right? Prayer isn't about, here's the thing, prayer isn't about having all the answers or getting all the answers. It is about trusting the one that does have all the answers. His name is Jesus. Again, we need to meditate on God's Word. I can't stress this enough. Every day you need to be in this Word. Every day you need to meditate on it. I don't care if it's a verse or it's a chapter, but it needs to be something. We need to be meditating on God's Word. We need to fill our minds with God's truth. That is the way that you battle the enemy. That is the only way that you're going to make the right choices in this life, is to have the Word of God in your heart. I think the Bible says something about what's in your heart comes out. Right? Comes out of our mouths, comes out in our actions. If your actions do not please God, you ain't got enough God in you. You need to be in His Word. You need to be spending time in His Word, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. One last thing that I want to share with you in closing this morning. Trusting God's timing is key. Trusting God's timing is key. You see, something we need to understand about God's timing is this. God's timing is perfect. Okay, I know, because I've been there, I don't think His timing's good all the time. It's not quick enough for me. You know, God, if you could just take care of this thing, like, really quick... But when you've walked in it and you've walked through it and you look back and you see what God has done, God's timing is always perfect. You think about your relationships maybe this morning. You know, a lot of times we get into marriage troubles or, you know, relationship troubles. And this is what we do. This is what we think. You know what, God, if you could just make this go away and you know, you could just put it back to the way it was. Church, God is not interested in putting things back to the way they were. because that wasn't working. God is interested in making your marriages, your relationships, everything about your lives about what He wants, because it'll be strong. It'll withstand the storms of life, because God will be in the center of your relationship. That is a confidence that you need. Amen? The only way that you can get it is with Him in the center of your marriage, in the center of your family, in the center of your relationships, in the center of your job, in the center of everything you do. When He is in the center of everything you do and everything you are, I can promise you, you will have a confidence in Him like never before. You will be able to trust His process because you know that He's always at work. You know that He's always at work on your behalf. He wants what's good for you and your marriage. He wants what's good for you and your families. He wants the best for you in this life. So why are you settling for second best when God wants what's best for you? God's timing is perfect. Something you need to understand this morning: God's delays are not denials. And it doesn't mean that God is not at work in the situation. Trusting God often means I am going to have to wait. Okay? Some of you need to hear this morning. Trusting God often means that you are going to have to wait. And you're thinking, why do I have to wait? Why do I have to wait? Well, because God's timing is a part of God's plan. And His plan is to bring out what is best for you and for others. Habakkuk 2:3. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Church, let me give you four quick things to start trusting God today. The first thing, start small. Okay? Start small. Trust God in the small things and allow God to grow you as you see Him work. Number two, journal God's faithfulness. Have you ever wrote down the awesome things that God is doing in your life, so that you can look back? You know, one of the great things about a journal, hey, you know what? Maybe it could be a prayer journal. You know, you need to be more honest in your prayer lives. How about you just write those prayers in a journal? So that and put the date on it, so you can look back and see what God has done. Journal your prayers, journal your answered prayers, journal ways God has provided for you and your family, right? When we are intentional about reflecting on God's faithfulness, it will build our trust in Him. Number three, surround yourself with believers. You know what? I think that's something that the church has gotten really bad at. Oh, we come together on Sunday morning. Sometimes we complain that Pastor John went over. And then we go about our lives and we're out there in the world. We're not surrounded by other believers. And we expect something different in our lives. Church, we should be spending quality time with other people who will build us up and encourage our faith, and who will remind us of God's goodness in our life. And number four, choose to trust God every day. That's a choice, you know. Choose to trust God every day. Trusting God isn't a one-time decision. It isn't. There are going to be things that challenge your trust every single day. What you need to do is that you have to choose to trust God every day. Start your morning by surrendering your worries and whatever is going to happen in the day to God, because you don't know what's going to happen. Your calendars are full of things, but you do not know how that day is going to go. God, however, does. Church, trusting God isn't always easy, but it's totally worth it. Psalm 62:8, trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Let's pray. Father, we come before You and I just thank You for Your word. I thank you for never leaving us and never forsaking us. I thank You for even when we doubt, and even when we have fears, and even when we kind of cower in the world in which we live, that You are still faithful and You're still with us. And for that we say thank You. God, I do pray that in the week ahead that You will help us to trust Your process, to surrender our worries each and every day to You, and choose to trust You with our lives, with our families, and with our day. God, be with us, watch over us, and take good care of us, I pray, until we can be together again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? And now may the Lord bless you, and I pray